If you have your Bibles this morning, and turn with me into Deuteronomy. And we've been talking about the ifs of God, that somehow, because this is a free gift, because God sent his son, his love was so that we wouldn't perish. His love wasn't so that we would go to heaven, okay? That's one of the deceitful lies of Satan, is that this loving God just loves us and he takes us to heaven and there's no strings attached. Again, you have to understand that that free gift that he gave humanity was talking about a blanket love and a blanket gift that he gave humanity with no strings attached. He did that to satisfy the punishment and the payment of sin. But in getting that to each and every one of us is the reason why he wrote, each one must bear his own cross. Each one must bear his own load, okay? Because we each have a load, and that load is sin. And that sin nature that we're born with, that iniquity that we're born in, leaves us as an adversary to Almighty God, which is not taught. And so we have to be careful to not listen to the lies of Satan and religion and just look into Scripture to see what it says. So we're going to talk about some more ifs of God, because you're going to see as we go through this all the strings that are attached for you to be able to come to salvation and for you to be able to have salvation and have that walk with God and be related to him, because it comes with an incredible amount of responsibility and a lot of ifs. Okay, so let's read this. This again, God teaching the nation of Israel, which he taught the nation of Israel, so that when he grafted us in, he would teach us the same biblical principles. Okay, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire. We need to understand this aspect about God. He's not all love. Do you know what a consuming fire is? That means it burns up everything. That means it has total power over the object that it's consuming. And it says that God is a consuming fire, reminding the children of Israel that they're going, getting ready to go into the promised land. And he's taking them there, and he expects them to live as his children, or his people. Physically, they're his children. God is the author of the physicalness that we have, but he's also the spiritual father. Unless you're born again, you don't know that spiritual nature of God. You're not his spiritual child. You are just God's physical child. So when you hear people say that we're all children of God, they are literally talking about the fact that he created the physical that we see, okay? He is the father of creation, okay? Not going to deny that. But he's also the father of the spiritual intimate relationship, which you have to be born again to get that. So he also tells them that he is a jealous God. Now again, just because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, he is still a jealous God. See, the fact that he did something great for humanity doesn't take away his character, doesn't take away his purpose, doesn't take away his holiness. And that's what we've allowed religion, that's what we've allowed the nation and the worlds to do, is to take away God's holiness, because he did this great gift for us, so God is no longer holy. No, God is as much holy today as he was, and he reminds these people that he's a jealous God, which means he wants nothing put in front of him. He is to take first place in the life of his creation. And that is a difficult place for him to be in our lives, because we have believed so much religious garbage that we think that we can have world and we can have God where it's either all or nothing with God. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. And we do not apply that passage of scripture to our lives in seeking this God that has drawn us. Okay, we can't seek God on our own initiative. What we're seeking is actually the protection of God and the goodness of God and the blessings of God. We want this God that does all of those things for us instead of the person God. And that's what it means when it talks about seeking him. We're seeking his holiness. He says, when you become the father of children and children's children, and have remained long in the land, and act corruptly, and make an idol in the form of anything, and do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord your God, so as to provoke him to anger. Wow. Is that not what we're doing with our children? Is that not what we're doing with our grandchildren? They're watching us live contrary to God's word. And the sad thing is, a lot of people nowadays, and we're in generations that don't even know what God's word is. It has just become a religion. It's just become another way of life. It's no different than Buddha, Hinduism, Muslims, Christianity. I mean, you can put them, lump them all in the same group, and it's just a way, it's just something, a smorgasbord by which people choose an avenue to get through life. That is not the relationship with God. Okay? God is not religious. Okay? He doesn't give you religion. He gives you a relationship. And he gives you a way of life. And we're not teaching our children this. We're not teaching that we are submitted to a God and that there is a God and there's not an option in that. We talked about that last week. God is not an option. Okay? You may choose or not choose, but God is there whether you recognize him or not. Okay? So, but we are provoking God to anger in our world today, especially in the churches when we accept and do everything that the world does. You know, if somebody wants to build a church, they just use the same credentials that you use to build a business. You hire somebody to come in, you make the people feel guilty, and you get money from them, and you build you a gymnasium or a bigger building or whatever you want to build. So we use the same concepts. Motivational speaking. We want people to feel good about themselves. Only when I become a child of God am I feel good about myself, because now I am holy because God has put his Holy Spirit within me, which makes me holy, and now I can feel good about myself. But until then, I can't. But again, these motivational religious speakers that say that, oh, God is good and we are good and all those good things we do are good. Well, apart from being a child of God, nothing's good. Jesus Christ doesn't even consider the goodness of being equal to God and being good. As a matter of fact, when they call him good teacher, he says, why do you call me good? There's only one that's good, and that is God. And this is the Son of God saying that. We're provoking him to anger, folks. And the things that we're seeing in our world today is because the hand of God, he's angry. We have forsaken him. We have forsaken his word. We have changed his word. We have created everything other than this relationship, which people need to know. Because if not, they're going to stand before him, and he's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, and they'll be cast into outer darkness where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. And we somehow do not believe that. We somehow have become so dull in our senses that we don't believe that the word of God is true. We'll read it, read all the prophets that were predicting what was going to happen to the nation of Israel, and in every one of them came true. And somehow we have become dead to our senses in that God, when he speaks, and when he wrote it down, it must have been pretty darn important. He says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that you will surely perish quickly from the land where you are going over to the Jordan to possess it. You should not live long on it, but you will utterly be destroyed. We know the history of the nation of Israel, and that's exactly what happened. They started to serve other gods. They turned their back on God. They did not represent God as his chosen people. And again, he annihilated them and scattered them abroad. Read the Old Testament, how God dealt with them. And he's telling us about how he dealt with them, because this is how he's going to deal with us Gentiles that have been graciously grafted in. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord drives you. There you will serve gods and work on man's hands, wood, stone, which neither see nor hear nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if If you search him with all your heart, did it stop there? And all your soul. That means your total being. That means you've come to the end of yourself. And you recognize God. You recognize his authority. And you recognize the price that he put on your life. You were bought with a price. You are not your own. He says, when you are in distress, why did God do all of this? Because he is holy, and he sent his son so that you would not perish. He sent Jesus as a warning to us. It was his last word to humanity, saying, you better repent. You better turn from your wicked ways. You better turn to me. You better make my commandments and my word a priority in your life. You better seek my righteousness and live as my righteousness. You've got to be born again to do this. Why did he send all this pestilence and things? So it was when you are in distress of all these things have come upon you. In the latter days, you will return to the Lord your God and you will listen to his voice. You can't do something and live contrary to God's word and say you're listening to God's voice. The lies that Satan has put out there in our churches today, saying just come, just say a prayer, just do the best you can. None of our churches are teaching or preaching you got to be born again, which is only something God can do for you. You are at the mercy of a holy and just God. And if you don't listen to his voice, you will stand before him and he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And I can back every bit of that up in scripture. And not just one scripture. See, when you read the scriptures and you read them all, the Holy Spirit begins to bring it all together so it makes sense in our spiritual lives, not our physical. Okay? The natural man can't understand spiritual things because they have to be spiritually appraised. He can't even if he wants to. In verse 31, for the Lord your God is a compassionate God. He's not compassionate in the way that you think he's compassionate. He's compassionate in the fact that he was willing to deal with an obstinate people. He was compassionate in the fact that he put a first covenant in place so that humanity would realize that they can't serve and they can't keep in the flesh the commandments and the statutes of Almighty God. He did that because he was compassionate. And he sent Jesus Christ, his son, because he was compassionate. Because of his holiness, he has to punish sin, and there is a wrath coming, and there is eternal damnation, there's a second death coming. And he's compassionate in putting you through all this pestilence so you come to the end of yourself so that you reach up and you say, Almighty God, I am undone. What do I do now? And listen to him, not some preacher. Not some teacher. Especially when that preacher and teacher is not preaching and teaching the word of God as it is written. But they change it. They change it to make us feel good about ourselves. They make it and they change it where it is applicable to us. That we can get this by our own efforts. This is not something you can get with your own efforts. This is something that has to be done God's way. And the big if is if you search for him as he calls you, because you have to read the rest of the scripture. Why are you seeking him? Are you seeking him to get out of your dilemma? Or are you seeking him because of the rottenness of your nature? And you're sick of what you are. And only he can recreate a new creature within us and make us that being that walks in a manner worthy of our calling. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 15, 1 through 7. It says, "Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, 'Listen to me, Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him.'" Did you hear that? Did you hear? See, sometimes we just read over this stuff really quickly, and we don't ponder on the scriptures, and we don't analyze them in a spiritual manner. This is the king, I think it's the third king of Judah, and he sent a prophet and said, "Look, if you're with God, God will be with you. But if you're not with God, God's not going to be with you." Well, same way, that's a biblical truth, folks. I mean, either we're with him or we're not. We can't be lukewarm. We can't be halfway for him and halfway against him. We got to be all or nothing. Matter of fact, I think in Revelation it says that, right? If you're lukewarm, he spews you out of his mouth. It's distasteful to him. When you're with him, and if you seek him, he will let you find him. Did you catch that truth? God has to allow you, he has to allow himself to be found. Okay? Did you catch that truth? Because that is so important that you just can't give your life to Christ. You can't. People all talk, "Well, I found Jesus." Where'd you find him? He wasn't lost. Jesus says, "I seek and save those that are lost." So again, where Satan comes in and puts a lie in there to give you some kind of credence for what you've done, you found Jesus? You don't find him unless God allows you to find him. Let's put this in perspective, people. This is not something that we can do in the flesh. This is not something that we can gain by our merits or our efforts. He'll let you find him. But did you see that? But if you're for him. See, you got to, don't forget that first part. If you are with him, then he will let you find him. He don't let you find him just because you want to find him. Okay? It's not based on what you want. Oh, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Got that? If you forsake him, he's going to forsake you. Huh? Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. I will not. I mean, these are things that are not taught. These are things that you as a child of God have got to ponder on. For many days, Israel was without the true God and without our teaching priests and without law. And we are really close in America. Without being out with a true God. And preachers that will stand up and share truth. We're more concerned about how many people come to our church than we are how many people will become children of God and have eternal life with Christ. So we have to lie about the truth of God. Did you know that not teaching the truth of God, all the truth of God, is as much as a lie? So if I only teach about the love of God and not why he loves us and the wrath of God, and that jealous God, and that consuming fire God, and that God that's going to destroy this world with intense heat. If I don't teach all of that, then I have lied. It says, but in their distress, they turned to the Lord God of Israel, and they sought him, and he let them find him. So after all this stuff that they went through and they came to the end of themselves and they realized that the only place to turn is God, well, God then, in his wisdom, he allowed his chosen people to find him. In those times, there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in, for many disturbances afflicted on all by the inhabitants of the land. Nation was crushed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every kind of distress. Why do we not think that this God still exists today? Why do we think we can shake our fist at Almighty God and we can lead our country contrary to the abominations that God calls abominations? And the sad thing is, you got folks that sit in church every Sunday and they vote contrary to God's holy laws. I don't get it. I don't get it. God crushed these nations. God caused the diseases and distresses. Do you ever see anyone standing up, even your religious preachers, that say this is the hand of God and this is why you're suffering as a country, as a nation? Do you ever hear anybody say that? No, we come up with scientific evidence of why it happens, right? We have climate control. We have climate global warming. We have all these scientific reasons why God's hand is against us. And we don't stand up and tell people this is because of your wickedness, because of your abominations to Almighty God, and he is causing these sufferings upon us. Oh, but that's not the God that I was taught. Huh? That God doesn't exist. That, you know, from Vacation Bible School, Jesus loves me, right? This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It didn't tell you about the ifs. Jesus loves you if you do what he says, he's your friend. Not just blanket, Jesus loves you. Jesus had nothing. Jesus was sent by God. We lie from our kids ever since they're this tall. Everybody knows that song, but it's a lie. There's no biblical truth in it because you're not diving into Scripture and telling them true. And then when their mama dies, or their daddy dies, or their mom and daddy get divorced, or something tragedy happens in their life, where's this Jesus that loves them? Where's he at? Instead of telling and teaching your kids that there's a way that and a standard that God has set forth for us to live, and if we don't follow by it, there's going to be plagues and distresses and problems in our life. It's God who loved us. It's God who sent his son so that we wouldn't perish. But you be strong. And don't lose courage, for there is reward for your work. It's not talking about your natural physical work, but it's the work that God does through you. And when you turn to him and serve him and abide in him. Let's look at Psalms 139, 7 through 12. For some reason, we think that somehow we can do deeds in darkness and God doesn't know about them. Somehow we figure that if I'm the only one that knows, that nobody else knows, and it doesn't really matter because nobody else knows. And we have forgotten one critical thing in this world is that we're sinning against Almighty God. Listen to the psalmist as he writes, "Where can I go from your spirit?" This is in verse 7. "Where can I go from your spirit?" He's asking, where can I go that God is not there? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. So where can you go? Where can you hide? See, the sad thing is most people are hiding behind religion. And they think that through their religious acts and their religious works, that somehow that they're pleasing to God. You cannot please God in the flesh. There's nothing you can do to please Him. You see, God took this on His own merits to please Himself. He saves us for His purpose. We are His workmanship. And it's the work that God does through us that matters, not what we're working for Him. It's not my ministry, it's His ministry. He allows me to be a part of that. He's given me the ministry of reconciliation. And so my purpose and my duty is to make sure that we're being truthful with folks. They're not going to like the truth. The truth attacks their security in eternity. But when we do it in love and God goes before us and gives us opportunities, sometimes it's just asking simple questions as people confide in you and things. And at what point in your life were you that disciple? At what point in that life did you receive faith from God, not your faith in God? See, it's not my faith that saves me. It's the faith that God gives me. And where does faith come from? Hearing. Where do I hear? By the Word of God. So we have to make sure that we're looking at Scripture and we're pondering on it. We have to make sure that we're applying this correctly to our lives. And so it might disturb some folks. It's going to make the religious people will get angry. The best way you can tell that there's a religious person that you're talking to is to teach and say just some simple biblical truth, and they'll get angry. How do I know? Because that's the pattern of religious people. How do I know? Because the Pharisees and Sadducees were the religious leaders, and they were the religious people. And Jesus came and spoke truth, and who got angry? They did. And so expect the religious people to get angry. Now, somebody that's really seeking after God, who has been called by God to seek Him and has been brought to the end of themselves, they will absolutely just love the truth that you tell them. We have been so deceived by Satan in our world today. And he's using Scripture to continue to deceive us. That's nothing new. That's how he tried to deceive Christ in the wilderness, was it not? After 40 days of not eating and drinking, and Jesus was weak at this point, and the angels came and nurtured him and nourished him and ministered to him. He comes and he uses Scripture. But see, the true Scripture and all of the Scripture, part of the Scripture is a lie. You have to use all the Scripture. And Jesus knew all that Scripture. And he was able to tell him back, man lives not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God.